We're glad that God has brought us to this place again. Ladies and gentlemen, the speaker for the evening.
Beautiful home,
there we shall rest. Come alive, free from all care. And wherefore, there's no night off in the storm. We are sighing for thee, beautiful home of the ransom beside the grave.
Good evening. Happy Father's Day. Thank Brother Brown for the opportunity to speak before you this evening. And I always look forward to sharing God's Word. Because when you grow to a point where you really have a relationship and really understand and connect with God's Word, you look forward to sharing it with others. Because you want them to experience the same excitement and joy that you feel as you study and meditate upon God's Word. We won't be long tonight. I'll be in Psalm chapter, division 37. Psalm division 37. We're going to read verses 23 and 24. And since this is Father's Day, I thought we'd talk from the subject of the good man, and give examples of biblical characters who were certainly good men. Psalm 37, verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." On this particular day that is celebrated as Father's Day, we have many good fathers here at the Sandy Lane congregation, many good men here at the Sandy Lane congregation. May not be fathers, but you're good men. And God has blessed us in that regard. And God gives us what we need in His Word to help us to become the type of men that He will be pleased with. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we're going to talk about some good men of the Bible. We're going to first look at Moses. Moses is introduced to us in Exodus chapter 2. And these are all familiar characters. Moses was born during a time when Pharaoh had initiated an edict where all of the male children, all the male Hebrew children, were to be killed. Well, Moses' mother was creative in that she was able to keep him alive for several months. But then after a while, it was impossible for her to keep him alive in her own care. So she bundled him up in a very nice little basket and sent him up the river. And about that time, Pharaoh's daughter was out near the water, and she saw him. Sent him up the river, I know this. Not to destruction, folks. Pharaoh's daughter encountered this baby, and she loved him, and she took him, and she cared for him. So Moses grew up in the home of Pharaoh. But God had a plan for Moses long before he was born. He always knew that he was going to have a plan for Moses. So although Moses grew up in the home of Pharaoh, he was connected to the Israelites. And when he learned of their plight, God called on him through the burning bush. That was the way that God introduced himself to Moses. And he told Moses that you're the chosen one to lead my people out of this Egyptian bondage. Moses, of course, was frightened. He believed that, Lord, I can't do this because I don't speak very well. So I can't be the one that you've chosen. But God chose Moses because God saw something in him. God saw that Moses was a good man. Moses was not without fault. Moses had some issues in his life where he faltered. But God still looked upon him as a man that I can use to lead my children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And that's exactly what Moses did. So Moses was chosen to lead the people out of Egyptian bondage. Now, I'm skipping around because I have other characters to talk about. So I'm not going to go into depth with each of them. But Moses he fulfilled the promise that God had established for his life. But Moses didn't make it into the promised land because of Moses' sin. Moses was told to speak to the rock on one occasion, but Moses hit the rock. And God said, because of your disobedience and because you didn't trust me, you're not going to make it into the promised land. But Moses had such a great relationship with God, and also I always admire the relationship that Moses had with God. Moses had such a close relationship with God that he asked God on one occasion, God, let me see your face. You and I have been walking together and talking together all these many years. We have a close connection. I want to see you. I want to see who I've been talking to. God said, no man can see my face and live. But I tell you what I'll do, Moses. Because I love you and because we have such a connection, I'm going to give you the opportunity to see a part of me. And that's something that just brings tears to my eyes when I think about what God did for Moses. He said, I'm going to pass by you, but I'm going to cover your face because I don't want you to see my face, because if you see my face, you're going to die. As he passed by him, after he got past him, he moved his hand, and Moses saw the back part of God. We don't read about any other character in the Bible that ever had that kind of experience with God. Moses was a good man. Moses was an honorable man. That's the first character that we're talking about. And Moses, because of his connection with God, though he didn't make it into the promised land, he made it into the promised land. The next character is Joshua. Now, Joshua was connected with Moses because Joshua was one of the 12 spies that Moses sent over into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. And of the 12, only two of them came back with a favorable report, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb said, you know, the land is beautiful, it's plentiful, it's fruitful, flowing with milk and honey, and it's ours for the taking. The other 10 men said, no, we can't take the land because there are giants over there, and there's no way that we can fight against those giants. And the people listened to those 10 men rather than listening to Joshua and Caleb, who had faith in God. Joshua and Caleb, they were ones that remained during that 40-year span that God punished the children of Israel. He said, you're going to stay in, you're not going to go over to the land of promise. You're going to stay in this wilderness for 40 years because you disobeyed me, because you didn't trust me. Everybody 20 and over is going to die in this wilderness. But Joshua and Caleb, they remained because they had faith in God. And Joshua was the predecessor to Moses. Joshua, when Moses died, Joshua took the reign and began to lead the people into the promised land. The people of Israel refused to enter the promised land that God had given. Patiently, Joshua trusted God. He recognized the authority of Moses and his position of leadership that God gave him. Joshua never tried to usurp authority over Moses. He waited until his time to lead Israel into the promised land. But all the time when Moses was a leader, Joshua, he yielded to Moses. He respected Moses. And God saw those type of character traits in Joshua. And he realized that Joshua is someone that I can use to now lead the people into the promised land. Joshua was a good man. Now we have David. David is introduced to us in 1 Samuel chapter 16. There are many things about David that I can say, but I'm not going to be able to get to all of it. But there are a couple of key points that I want to point out about David. David, even as a young man, had a relationship with God. And he was one that trusted God and took God at his word. You remember when David was out tending his father's sheep and a lion and a bear came upon him. He wasn't afraid. He knew that God would protect him. And God gave him the wherewithal to protect the sheep from the lion and the bear. And that story was used when he went to Saul, when the children of Israel were being threatened by this great giant Goliath. David went to Saul and said, what are you all afraid of? Who is this giant that's defiling the armies of the living God? And Saul was wondering, who is this kid? We've got all these men of war, these men of valor, and they're not willing to step up to go against this giant Goliath. But David, this little boy, has come to me saying that I can fight this giant. And he gave him the example of the lion and the bear that went out, that tried to take his sheep. And he said, the same God that delivered me out of the hands of the lion and the bear, that's the same God that will deliver me out of the hands of this Goliath. Yes. And so Saul placed all of his armor on David and said, well, you go and do what you're going to do. David said, no, I can't use all this. I don't know how to use this stuff. But what I do know, I have this slingshot, and I'm skillful with that. And that's what he used to defeat the giant Goliath. David also later in his life, he was a man of war. He was a man of valor. And he shed much blood. That was one of the reasons why he could not build the temple, because of the blood that he had shed. He had a lot of blood on his hand. But God still saw David as an honorable and a man of valor. David also he's one of the more popular incidents in the scriptures with him and Bathsheba, where he faltered. He faltered, and because of his sin with Bathsheba, the sword never left David's house. There was pain and destruction in David's family. But after David learned of his wrongdoing, he repented, and he turned back to God. And David is referred to as a man after God's own heart. David was a good man. David was a man that God could depend on and that God could trust. God loved David. Then we have Job. We're introduced to Job in Job chapter 1. And this is a story that most of us are familiar with. Job was a good man. Here was a man that was so connected with God that when Satan came to a meeting between God and the sons of God, God asked him, "Where you been?" He said, "I've been just looking for people to destroy." And God offered up Job. That's the kind of relationship that Job had with God, and that's how much God trusted Job because of his faithfulness. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan's response was, "Of course I've considered him, but I can't get to him because you placed a hedge around him that I can't get to him. So I don't bother Job because there's no point in me bothering Job because I can't get to him." God said, "You know what? I'm going to pull back. I'm going to give you free rein over everything that he has. Just don't kill him." God gave Satan free rein over Job. He gave him the opportunity to test Job in so many ways. He took his health. He took his family. He took his wealth. He took everything that he had. Even his friends began to question whether or not Job had sinned. Even his wife came to him and said, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" Job said, "You speak as a foolish woman." God gave it, and he can take it away. Blessed be the name of God. I'm not concerned about these material things. What I'm concerned about is maintaining my right relationship with God. I came into this world with nothing, and it is certain that I'm going to go out of here with nothing. So I'm not concerned about the material things. I just want to be in the right relationship with God. God blessed Job to make it through that trial. And on the other side of Job's trial, the Bible says that his latter end was better than the beginning. Job was a good man, and Job trusted God. Then we have Daniel. We're introduced to Daniel in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel was a very faithful young man. We see him in the beginning parts of the book of Daniel, where he was along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their names were changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But you remember when the king, he wanted all of the young men to be brought to him, and he wanted them to be fed his diet, wanted them to eat the king's food. And I want them to be made into the like the king. But Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "You know, let us have the meal that we're accustomed to having, the meal that we're familiar with, and see if at the end of the time how we look in comparison to the ones that are eating the king's meats." And the king saw that these men were fairer and healthier looking than the ones that ate of the king's meat. Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego. That was one instance of Daniel and how he trusted God and showed his faith in God. Move further down into Daniel's life where he had a relationship with the king. And at one time the king he befriended Daniel because Daniel was such a good young man. And there were those who did not like Daniel because of his relationship with the king. And so they plotted to come up with some scheme to see if they could trap Daniel and make him look bad in the eyes of the king, because they knew that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And so they went to the king and they said, "King, why don't you make a decree that no one is to pray to any god or king other than you?" And so the king agreed with that, and he put it into law. But Daniel continued to pray 3 times a day, and Daniel wasn't ashamed. He prayed with his windows open. He didn't care who saw him, because Daniel was a man of God. And these men went to the king and said, "King, oh king, didn't you say that no one is supposed to pray to anybody else other than you?" And they went to the king with ill intent, because they went to trap Daniel. And the king said, "Yes, anybody that does that is to be cast into the lion's den. And so Daniel was brought before the king. He was cast into the lion's den. It hurt the king's heart because here was a man that he loved. And he didn't want to do that. And he even fought for Daniel to not do this. But he could not go against his word. So Daniel was cast into the lion's den. While Daniel was sleeping in the lion's den that night, the king was up all night wondering, I wonder how Daniel's doing. Daniel's in the lion's den sleeping. The lions had no appetite for Daniel. The king woke up the next morning to discover that Daniel was still alive. He rejoiced and he was just exceedingly glad that Daniel was still alive. He had Daniel brought out of the lion's den and he said, go get those men that set Daniel up and throw them into the lion's den. The lions regained their appetite. And before those men even hit the ground, their bodies were torn to shreds by those lions. Daniel was a good man, and he was a man that trusted and followed God. Now let's look at Paul. We're coming to a close now. Look at Paul. Paul, of course, we're introduced to Paul in Acts chapter 7, where he was, when Stephen was being stoned, the Bible talks about a young man who's, where they laid the coats around this young man named Saul, the ones that were stoning Stephen. He was right there in the bunch with the people that were persecuting and stoning this good man, Stephen. And then we go on to chapters 8 and chapter 9. We see where Paul was still persecuting the church. But Paul was persecuting the church not because he just hated the church. He was a man. He was following the law. And he thought that the Christians and Jesus and Christianity were a threat to the law. And so that's why he was persecuting the Christians, because he didn't understand what they were talking about and what was going on. He was adamant about following the law. So we see Paul was, he was Saul at that time, but he was out persecuting Christians. But God stopped him. Jesus stopped him in his tracks because he looked at this young man and the tenacity that he had in following the law, and he said, here's someone that I can use. And he stopped him on his tracks on the road to Damascus. And Saul was converted to Christianity. Saul was converted. And he went from that point, from his conversion, he went straightway preaching the gospel of Christ. He didn't pass go. He went straight away preaching the gospel of Christ. And the other disciples were a little afraid of him. When he went to Jerusalem, they didn't want to have anything to do with him because they had heard about his reputation. Here's a man that was persecuting Christians. They couldn't believe that he was now one of us. But the next man that I want to talk about is Barnabas. Barnabas took Paul in and introduced him to the other disciples in Jerusalem. Now, there's not a whole lot talked about in the Bible about Barnabas, but that's one point that the Bible talks about as it relates to Barnabas, how he took Paul, or Saul at the time, and introduced him to the other disciples. He was the buffer between the other disciples and Paul. He was the one that introduced him and helped him to establish his relationship with the other disciples. And Paul and Barnabas both went on to do great things. They went their separate ways, teaching the gospel and converting many thousands of people to the gospel of Christ. And they worked together, and much is said about Paul, not as much as said about Barnabas, but what we do know is that Paul and Barnabas did work together, and they were comrades in teaching the gospel of Christ. All of these examples are men of God, men of honor, men of valor, good men who followed God. Some of them were not without fault, but they got up and they continued to follow God. And the reason they continued to follow God is because they had a connection with God. They had a heart for God. And they had a heart for following and doing the things that God would have them to do. And even when they disappointed him, even when David was told that you're the one, when Nathan came to him with the story of the man that had the one little sheep and a man came and took that from him, David said, that man's going to pay. And Nathan said, you're the one. And straight away, David repented. That's the kind of man that David was. These are the kinds of men that showed nobility and had honor. They were honorable men, and they had a heart towards serving God. That's the kind of men that we should strive to be as Christians, even today. We, too, can have the same type of relationship with God that these men that we read about in the Bible had. we can have such a close walk with God that even if God decides to say to Satan, you know, have you considered my servant, Brother Green? Even if God decides to say that, even today, he can trust us and know that we're not going to fail him. It's good to be a good man. It's good to be a good man. It's important for us to maintain that relationship with God that keeps us on the path, the straight and narrow path. There's nothing else in the world that can offer the kind of assurances that God offers. God offers assurances to his people, to his faithful people. If we're going to please God, we must walk and live faithful lives. We can't be wavering. We can't be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. It's important for us to remain faithful to God. And the relationship that we've talked about with these men is something that you can have tonight if you're not a member of the body of Christ. You too can have the same type of relationship with God that we've talked about tonight. And it's very simple. You've heard the gospel. You just need to believe it. Believe what you've heard. And as a result of having heard and believed the gospel, you realize, I have not been living a life that God's been pleased with. And I'm sorry about that. That's called repentance. And once you repent, then you acknowledge, I truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and will bury you in water baptism tonight, if that's your desire. If you're here and you're a member of the body of Christ and you realize that, you know, I want to be the type of individual that has a right relationship with God. I want to have that close connection with God. But I haven't been trying as hard as I should. I haven't been trying as hard as I know that I could. You know, I've been kind of, you know, just kind of, as young people say, faking it till you make it. I've been just kind of waffling back and forth. I don't have that connection with God. And as a result, I've allowed Satan to tempt me from time to time, and I fall in prey to Satan's devices. If that's your situation tonight, you don't have to remain in that state. You too can come, renew your covenant with the Father through the avenue of repentance. We'll go to the Father on your behalf tonight in prayer, and you can continue your walk with Christ, the same as these men that we talked about tonight. And there are other examples of good people, good men and women in the Bible. But on this Father's Day, I decided to talk about some good men of the Bible. But if you stand in either disposition, we ask that you come now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the light. For sinner, harden not your heart, be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why
not tonight?
Not tonight.
Why not tonight?
Oh, why not tonight?
Why not tonight?
Will thou be saved? Then why not? Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will